Have you ever wondered how you could break free from your family's past? Then listen in as I interview today's guest author.
The Author Switch.
Hello, and welcome to the Author Switch podcast. This is your host, Karma Spence, author of the best-selling and award-winning book, Public Speaking Superpowers. Today, my guest is Gail Weiss Gasper. She grew up believing that her worth was tied to busyness and productivity, with achievement and education prized above all other accomplishments. She was keenly aware that her beloved father survived Auschwitz and the brutal environment of the Mauthausen labor camp. She silenced her suffering because nothing could match what he endured. It wasn't until her 63-year-old father stood on stage at the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum and told his story that Gail understood that her voice mattered too. And it was from that experience that grew her book, a memoir called Carrying My Father's Torch. Welcome to the podcast, Gail.
Thank you, Karma. Happy to be here.
I'm glad you're here. It looks like you probably have an interesting author's journey. You are a coach, and yet you chose your first book not to market your business. You chose a life story. What's that about?
Yeah, I was hoping you would ask that because I've always had this burning desire to write a book, and I didn't know what it would be. I didn't know how I would write it. But I had this burning desire, and I was working with a coach, and I brought to her three possibilities for a book at her request. And she said, well, which one do you feel drawn to? And I said, well, there's this one, and then there's this one, my memoir, that completely scares the daylights out of me. And her words to me were, then, Gail, that is the book that you need to write next. And she said, after that, you can write anything you want, but this is the book that is wanting to be written. And so I was receptive, finally, to that message because people have been telling me to write my story for a very long time. And I had a tremendous amount of resistance. So it was that moment that I realized she was holding my feet to the fire and I needed to hold my own to the fire too.
Right. Now, this is both a story about you, but it's also a story about your father, right?
Yes, it's a story about my father because there are just so many. He's lived a fascinating life. You know, his trajectory from being a child Holocaust survivor to becoming a butcher in his career. You know, his education having been cut short because of the war. And then once he started speaking up, his ability to really go bravely into the dark places where he had never talked about before. So it was definitely a reckoning with this new role that my father walked into, which was how heroic, how absolutely scary and frightening to do this. And yet he continues to show up day after day, decade after decade, to tell his story in a way that scares him, yet at the same time liberates him.
Wow. And how do you fit into this story, other than being his daughter?
Yeah, so the way it fits for me is I really never knew how to separate that story of his and its impact on my life. And so many of us grow up being affected by intergenerational experiences and not examining them, not questioning them, or not getting curious about them. And then they become very much an overlay over our own story. And so what I found, and one of the reasons that I wanted to write the book, is that I found that I was allowing some of his lived experiences and the trauma of his life to restrict my own life. And I was I got very curious about why that is and what could be done about it. And so this is that journey through being inspired by my father's courage to find my own.
Wow. Now, you said that writing this book initially scared you. And a lot of authors feel that when they are about to write their first book, but this sounds like it was even a scary topic. how did you overcome that fear and push through and actually get your writing process so the book got done?
I think that the real impetus here was that I began to feel a very strong sense of urgency that we're not getting any younger. My father's 91. And the pain of not expressing what I needed to, something that was inside for so long, became greater than the need to keep it suppressed and in silence. The other thing too was that I began thinking of how do I want the story to go for my own children and, you know, their young adults. And it became very important to me for them to hear the story as I lived it, as I experienced it. So A, that they could know me and their grandfather better, but more so even so that they could come to grips with the story and how it could impact their life for the better and not keep them small, not keep them quiet about what they needed to do in their own life.
So it's a legacy book in some ways too.
It is. And the thing is, as a coach, I work with so many successful people who look successful on the outside, and they too, we all get trapped in these intergenerational storylines. And so I knew that going public with this message, that it's possible to break free of that. And I knew that I wanted to bring my message to a wider audience and that it could resonate with other people.
So what did you learn going through this whole process of writing and publishing your first book?
What a big question. I would say I learned that writing is really hard, and I knew it. That's why it took me so many decades to do it. It's really hard, and there's no shortcut to becoming an author. Many things, I guess there are things that you can fake till you make or things like that. But with the writing, it requires that you sit in the seat and that you face your fear in the blank page every single day. So many things, but a couple things come to mind. Another thing is that the impression or the way we see our parents or our storyline of our legacy looks one way when we're very young. And often we don't really question it or explore that any further. We just keep that story from childhood. So I learned so much about changing my lens on my parents and such an appreciation for what they had to drum up in themselves in order to be the best parents that they could be.
Right.
Right. So younger days would have faulted for certain attributes or willingness to do, not do, things that were absent from my upbringing, things like that. And so I believe I became a more forgiving child. And, you know, just with more, giving them more latitude and more understanding that they truly did the best they could with what they had. And it was really good. It served me well, you know, that I could come to this point in my life and see them with an element of grace.
So how are you getting the word out about your book?
Before I let Gail answer that question, here's a quick commercial break.
Know all the steps it takes to go from idea to published book to a business based on that book? You can probably piece them together with internet research, taking classes, reading books, and trial and error, as I have. Or you can take a shortcut. There are lots of steps between an idea for your book and the end goal of a published book that transforms lives and makes you money. It can be very easy to forget a step. That's why I created the Authoneering 101 Checklist. It guides you through all the steps so you don't miss one and you can plan for them in advance, weaving them into your overall writing process. Many times, I've gotten to the end of a book project only to realize, nope, I forgot an important step. This meant either I launch on time and not get the results I want, or I postpone the launch, which you can't really do if you've already announced the publish date. That's why I created this checklist. It shares the 8 steps required for writing a book and building a business around it, and I break those steps down into more manageable sub-steps. To learn more and download your checklist today, go to karmaspence.com/authoneering101. That's karma with a C, spence.com/authoreneering101.
And now back to the podcast. Before the commercial break, I was talking to Gail Gaspar about her book, and I asked her, so how are you getting the word out about your book?
Yeah, so this is one of those challenges for a debut author, and I am a self-published author and did that very purposely, and I really wanted to retain full control over my story, over my cover design, and also, there was the timing element again, that I didn't want to wait a year, year and a half to be told it was going to be published or not. So that the self-publishing was a decision that came fairly quickly to me. In terms of getting the word out, I have been asking a lot of people for help, you know, explaining to them what this process is, what's necessary on Amazon, what kind of help I need. I got together a launch team, and many of those people were instrumental in writing those first reviews and in sharing on social media. So I continue to ask people for help. I continue to pound the pavement, you know, every day and do things that help bring back to me a percentage of yeses of people in this pandemic that are willing to host a virtual debut author of memoir. Because let's face it, memoir is not the best-selling book genre out there, although I love memoir, which is why I wrote one. Yeah. So I'm just trying to get the word out and be creative with it. And my motto every day is, how can we have fun today with this?
Exactly. So,
yeah.
And book marketing is a long haul thing. I mean, yes, there's the big push for the launch, especially if you're trying to go for Kindle bestseller or bestseller of anything. But if you really want to get that book out, you kind of have to have like a 1 to 2 year plan, maybe even longer.
Yes. Yeah, that's very true. And so I just keep going back to the well and seeing, well, who did I contact? What's it? I'll just give you a good example. I think that your listeners may be interested in. So in trying to think out of the box of who might be interested in my memoir, because of the content and the emphasis in the story, there were actually more markets for it than I initially realized. And one of the markets is a university and high school classrooms for teachers and professors to be using this as a jumping off point for discussion. Mm-hmm. So I have just landed last week the first placement in a prestigious university book recommendation booklet that comes out semi-annually for professors, because much to my surprise, they no longer tell teachers what they teach, you know, what they teach from. Yeah. The teachers choose that. And so they agreed to include that. So now that's a green light for me to go ahead and contact other university and high school departments with hopes that they'll use it too.
Now that is a strategy I've been looking at for my own last book. I would love to learn, how did you get that? How did you get that placement?
Persistence. I just, you know, I found a name in the department, and I went back to her a couple times, and at first I didn't hear from her, and then she did get back to me, and she said, well, we can't do this, but we can do this. We can include it in the resource guide. So I was surprised and delighted.
I didn't even know they had resource guides.
Yeah, I don't know. They don't call it exactly that, but each department, it seems, or maybe it's by university, I don't know. Each department has a list of recommendations for the professors, which makes sense. Right? So they don't have to start from scratch. So I feel really buoyed by that. It's like, that's, you know, that's my next line of inquiry is, okay, let's look at several of these academic departments. And now that I'm in here, I will use that to try to parlay that into more people recommending it.
Right. So for your book, what departments at a university did you target? Would it be history or psychology or...
So the most obvious one was Holocaust studies for me, for the book, psychology for sure. And then history, I haven't tried that yet, but I'm even thinking maybe women's lit.
Oh yeah.
Right. Because I was an English major in college. Mm-hmm. These are the kind of books that I would have wanted to read in college, helping me, especially in your turbulent 20s, to help ask some of the questions that can help to you know, there's so many questions around identity, who am I in relation to my parents? And
right.
In fact, I'll go back to the coaching, you know, my 20 something clients, they're living that angst of, you know, who am I? And my parents want me to do this. And getting to that place of saying, you know, my whole family wants me to get an MBA, and getting clients to that place of saying, F the MBA, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. It's such a weight. You know, you could just feel everything lighten. You could feel like the shackles come off, saying, I'm my own person. I don't want this. I could do it. But just because I could do it doesn't mean I want to do it.
Exactly. Well, we're coming up on the end of the podcast here. Is there any last lessons before we share how to get in touch with you that you want to share?
Sure. So there's a number of things. One is that I really want to encourage listeners not to minimize their story and to look for sources, ways in to take a look at the legacy story that they have experienced, and just ask a few questions about what are they carrying that is not serving them anymore. We are in such, you know, we're in such challenging times, and I believe that going into this place of looking at our legacy wound and our legacy story can actually guide us and be a source of strength during these times. And you know, once we acknowledge what the story is that we are carrying that we no longer need, it really helps expand our access to our own potentialities. And we really need that more now than ever. The world needs our stories. The world needs us to live into our potential and to stop playing small. So I think this is a really powerful place to look.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, Gail, where can people find you and learn more about you and your book?
Thanks for asking. I'm at GailGaspar.com /carrying my father's torch will get you to the book. And the book is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and starting to get it into independent bookstores. So there's one bookstore right now called Bethany Beach Books in Delaware, my favorite bookstore, and it's sitting on the shelf very happily.
Wonderful.
So I'm on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and LinkedIn. So I encourage listeners to find me there as well.
Yes, and I will include links on the show notes page. Thank you so much, Gail.
Thank you, Karma. Appreciate the time.
This is your host of The Author Switch, Karma Spence, signing off.
The Author Switch at authorswitch.com.